Good evening, I have to apologize. A very poor placement for your father. I am not a replacement at all. I came to call myself a poor replacement. But I figured when my father said I should give instead of him, is at least he left on a good week, you know? Skullin, you know, big money topic, you know, got part of the ego, got that to talk about. Then you got coming up Zakhar, a Molik, murder, you got blood, you got money. Today we had a whole thing of politics and Gilead Arroyos, and all the topics that you want to talk about. It's a hot, you know, hot topics week. So I was like, okay, you know, not that bad. But then there were just so many things to talk about. The hardest part is always figuring out just exactly what. So I did what probably all my friends call me a shibboleth for doing. I opened up Chumash at random. Not bad. We got a page off from Parshas Zohar. We got the Haftarah from Parshas Zohar. And I looked at the Haftarah and I was pretty stuck. Shmuel's coming over to Shaul HaMelech. Shaul HaMelech failed in killing Gad HaMelech, and my father just spoke about that 2 weeks ago. Taking responsibility for your actions, and Shaul tried to shirk the responsibility. And Shmuel tells him, what did you do it for? And he said, I was listening to the people. There's a few other things there, but I wasn't comfortable. So I quickly run after the dining room here. She knows the little kids are eating lunch. And I come over to a little kid and I say, Tzaytlik Sukako. Tell me something you learned today. Which is how we find you do, you know. You need a little drop of prophecy. You either get it from idiots or from the Tanit. So either you're going to get it from me, I'll be the idiot, or from the Ketan. And the kid answered, I was just waiting, you know, Haman, Amalek, Esther, you know, give me something good. Moshe Rabbeinu told Aaron not to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim a whole year, only on Yom Kippur. That didn't really very well. Came back to the Chumash, opened it a third time, second time. Came to the end of Parshas and Shpatim, right after Ma'amar Sinai, and says that the Anan was on top of the Har, Moshe Rabbeinu went up, spent 40 days in the Anan. I'm lost. I figured, forget it, we'll go to the Parsha of the Karbanos. I'm lost again. So I decided to take another look at the Haftarah, and we'll see what we can do. Shaul tells Shmuel HaNavi that the reason why I didn't kill out Amalek in its entirety was because I felt bad, you know, the people and this and that. And the bottom line is, Shaul says that I left over the animals, and we all know the witchcraft is Amalek, the name taught us, and a lot of them turned into animals. But that's not the Pashat Shad in the Pesukim. He said they left over the animal because it was such a waste. So many carbonus I could bring. What a waste. Let's leave over the animals and we'll bring carbonus. That was Shaul HaMelech's decision. He left over the animals and some people as well. And he lost his malucha because of that. So Shmuel responds to Shaul HaMelech. Vayomer Shmuel, Hakevet Lashem Ba'olos Uzvagin. Does God want your karbonei oila uzvagin? Kishmoya b'kol Hashem, like he just wants you to listen to the voice of Hashem. He deishmoya mizevach tov, and lahakshav mechei levelim. It's better to listen than to bring all the karbonos in the world. It's better to respond to God's calling than to bring all the sacrifice. What's pshat that Shaul HaMelech's, any significance that Shaul HaMelech's toast, and this was a horrible, horrible mistake, caused Klal Yisrael tremendous repercussions. Amalek is still around. And it all, for some strange reason, centered on this question, shall I leave over the animals to Karbanos? What does it have anything to do with Karbanos? It doesn't. Shmuel continues with the whole Musa Shmuz. He goes back and forth. Shaul says, just leave me some respect, please. He's like, God's not taking any Khanifa. You're gone. You're toasted. And Shmuel says, bring me Agag. They bring Agag. Agag comes in chains. The king of Amalek comes in chains before Shmuel. He's expecting some Rachmanis. He sees Shmuel's godly face. He gets no Rachmanis. Shmuel pulls out a sword. And he gives a little introduction. Shmuel says, Vayomer Shmuel, Kasher shikla nashim karbeko. Just like you left women empty-handed, you left them alone, you killed their husband and their children in the war against Klal Yisrael. Cain tishgal minashim imecha. So too now your mother is going to be all alone from you. And with that, vayishase Shmuel es Agag. And all the mafarshim say we don't find this lashon anywhere else. Vayishase, he sliced it. Rashi says he sliced it into four pieces. Shmuel took his sword, sliced Agag Melech Amalek into four pieces, and that was the end of it. Why did he give the little speech over here? Who needed it? And what was the meaning of slicing it into four pieces? Yeah. In Parshas Kisete, Parsha Zakar, we're going to read him into Shem this week. It says, Klal Yisrael was in Rephidim. Amalek came along, they complained about the water. Hayesh Shemdi Kebenu. Amalek came along. And Hashem says, Zakar, it's Hashem, look at Amalek, the Derek says, Hashem, Korka, my Derek, Hayizani, Bechor, Kolam, Shalom, Atarecha. And Rashi says, what was the terrible thing of Amalek and what's the connection to Hayesh Hashem b'kibbeinu in Oyin when Klal Yisrael complained about the water? Rashi says, Moshe l'ma d'vazoyma, to a father, you'll remember the Moshe, a father who's carrying his youngster, his son on his shoulders through the marketplace, and the son notices a treat on the floor and he says, Pops, you know, come on, the candy looks good. Father goes, picks it up, pass my sweet choice, son, with ice cream, you know, Dad, come on, I have my ice cream. Father picks it up. Third time he asks his father for another thing that he finds, his father picks it up. A little while later, they're walking down the road, and this young boy notices a friend of his father's. And the young boy calls out to him and says, come here, please. Did you see my father? He gets sitting on his father's shoulder. His father takes the child, throws him onto the floor, and says, now you'll see if I'm around. A dog comes and bites the child. And now the child realizes that until now he was being protected and taken care of by his father. There's a relationship between Klal Yisrael asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu when there was no water, Hayesh Hashem b'kivim, is God amongst us? And Hashem allows Amalek to attack them. And what animal of all animals is Amalek compared to? A dog. Different nations are compared to different things, different animals. Amalek is compared to a dog. What do we know about dogs? My father used to say a little anecdote about Inspector Clouseau. He once approached his friend who was standing by a train stop. His friend was standing there, and there was a dog right next to his friend. And he said, "Excuse me, sir, it is your dog, right?" He says, "No, my dog does not bite." Nice doggy.
Ouch!
"Excuse me, sir, did you not say your dog does not bite?" "Yes, sir. That's not my dog." Dogs are known to be man's best friend. Of all animals in the world, they have the capability of developing a tremendous, loyal relationship to the master, to the extent they could be mice and nefesh to the masters. They'll give up their own life. Not instinctively, consciously. They can develop extremely warm, loyal relationships to the masters. Yet in Chazal we find, in the Sefer Sota, the last Amud, when the Gemara is describing Ikvasa the Mashiach, the times of Mashiach are coming, and chutzpah, yazgah, there's going to be massive chutzpah going around, and the Mishnah says the Talmidim won't respect the Rabbeim. There's a famous Meiser of Akiva Hagen was walking down the in a park, he was walking down a sidewalk, and there were some Talmidim from Yeshiva sitting there by the park bench. And I forgot who Rabbi Akiva Hagen was walking around with, but he was walking, and the Chaver of Rabbi Akiva Hagen told him, "Look, watch, watch, this is Ikvasa the Mashiach. We're going to pass by the Talmidim, let's see if they show us any respect. Let's see, chutzpah, sure thing." So you walk by, and what do you know? The Talmidim don't stand up. I don't know who his kapusta was, but does anybody know who it was? As they walked by and the two students did not stand up, Rabbi Akiva Hagen said, "No, Mashiach still has plenty of time. Still has plenty of time to come." So Moses said, "This wasn't enough. What's case of time?" He said, "In the Ikvus of the Mashiach, we're going to be sitting, two Talmidim are going to walk by, and they're going to say, 'No.'" That's what's good. But regarding that Mishnah and Saita, it says the Dar Mashiach is going to come, the Ikvus of the Mashiach. The Mishnah uses a Lashon, "Pnei Hadar, the face of the generation, Kipnei Kelev." Nothing referring to any essential things. "Haben Eino Mizbayesh Meyaviv." A son will not be embarrassed before his father. Of all animals, a dog is known to have no busha. A cat is very polite in the way it deposits what it has to deposit. A dog, everybody knows, you can't even train it to be private. "Azus meitzach" is the face of a dog, even before its own owner. It's loyal, very, 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 very loyal, a warm relationship. And on the other hand, we find that in Chazal referred to a dog as a mashal for ants. Azus is something referred to when you take a loan from a bank. A friend of yours, that gives you a nice big loan in your time of need. And he comes back to you a year later or a few months later and he says, it's due date. And the Gemara says, no bank has the chutzpah to say, "You never lent me." I'm sure everybody has a chutzpah. But nobody has the chutzpah to say, "You never lent me." They'll say, "I don't have it. You lent me this amount, and the due date was a different time. And I'm getting the money, and I'll have the money." But to say blatantly, "You never lent me a penny," what chutzpah finished? The person doesn't have a chutzpah to do it. Dafka to someone who lent you, because there's a relationship here. If you damaged somebody's goods by mistake, or your animal damaged it, we don't have it. You can deny it, point blank. "Me, my animal, my car, I didn't do anything to you." But when you had a relationship with somebody that you lent you money, the person doesn't have the chutzpah to turn that down, turn away and just say, "You never lent me." That's how us, it's us. So on the one hand, the dog we find has this bipolar extremist goblins with relationships. It's extremely loyal on the one hand, and on the other hand, it's able to be the perfect example of a son who is not at all embarrassed with his father. A son whose father's been carrying around on his shoulder, and the father's been treating him out to all those goodies that the kid asked for, And then the kid says, anybody see my father? Complete lack of any regard to the fact that the father was there for him. And so too my soul in the Midbar. They were getting one. They had the Hanana. The Hanani Yaakov, they had the fire in front of them at night, and Hanani Yaakov in the back, and the level, the floor of the Midbar was leveled and cool, and the clothing didn't get worn out. This all was already in place at that time. And yet, Klal Yisrael, they didn't have some water, and they asked, Yesh Hashem B'Kivinu, is God amongst us? You need to learn a little about relationships. We're going to throw you to a dog. And a dog is something that can teach someone the extremes of relationships. It's able, on the one hand, to be extremely loyal, and on the other hand, a dog is able to be completely disregarding any connection with the person that it's with. The Tzadik HaKayin says that was Amalek. Amalek says in the Gila, Goloi b'yadua lefnei misha omar v'hoya oila she'osid homon lishkoil aseret alfei kikar kesef to obliterate the Jews. God knew that Haman is going to give out 10,000. It's a huge amount of money, by the way. Tosis makes the cheshbon that it's 50 years worth of all 600,000 Jews giving a half a shekel every year. I don't know the value of a half a shekel, but it's big money. Big money. 50 years worth of 600,000 Jews giving a half a shekel each year. It makes the cheshbon. So yeah. Aseres alfei kikar kesef equals the machzis Hashem. Threat everybody in the belt. Haman's dedication of the 10,000 coins needs a sus to counteract. What kind of kitri, what kind of sus was that? That we needed something to counteract it. But Tzadik, the Tzidkas of Tzadik writes that Amalek was extremely hot blooded. They get cooked up. And Haman was so extremely cooked up over his cause. Of course, it was a horrible cause. Get rid of the Jews. But he was so cooked up over it that was a question, if Klal Yisrael, do they get cooked up over their cause? And that was the kicker. He says that was the midah of Amalek, that they were able to take something to heart tremendously, to the extent that they invest all of their emotions, that you can give up all your money, which the Gemara darshins, bechol me'odecha, whatever you consider in your character as being extreme, fired up about, so the Gemara, what is bechol me'odecha, v'atashon mekel, bechol me'odecha, your money. Bechol me'odecha is your money. You're ready to invest all your money in something that you are very emotionally involved with. And that was Haman, and that's on the other hand, the Pasuk says, Asher Karcha Adek. Amalek came along and he cooled off Klal Yisrael. What does it mean to cool it off? So Rashi, Moshe Lama Dover Doima, to an Ambatya Roisakas, Klal Yisrael was the world's superpower. They just wiped Mitzrayim off the map. They're going through the Midbar with clouds. Har Sinai, is it unbelievable? Klal Yisrael comes along Amalek with this kalkite, complete indifference, sees the boiling mikvah, sees a boiling hot bath, jumps right in. He gets scathed, he gets burned, third degree burns. He couldn't care less. And you know what he did? He taught the rule of this. The daf mishnah is spoil from going. You don't have to take any mikvah. The water's bubbling away. Boiling. Where's your feet? Your heart is not quaking? The daftness in the spell varnished. Cool, collected, calm, mamish precision of a Nazi. My wife told me she saw Schindler's List years ago. And there was a scene there. I have no idea if the movie was based on documents or anything, but there was a scene there with a Nazi who was in the middle of going to the bathroom. And he saw a Jewish kid out the window and he shot him while going to the bathroom. There's never were such stories, whether that was Emma's or not. A cold of hearts, of such a lack of recognition of another human being. Complete, complete coldness without any emotion. That's a lot. That's truest. They could get cooked up and boiled up and completely involved emotionally in something to the extent that Haman, for his cause that he was involved in, was willing to give up billions, whatever it was, tons and tons of money to get rid of the Jews. And on the other hand, the people could be so removed and so separate that they could disregard a shrekadiga situation, totally disregard it, jump into the boiling water, couldn't kill us. I was thinking perhaps the three places that I happened to have fallen into, that's little kid in the lunchroom, and the Haftarah, and Parshas Mishpatim. Your call. The Haftarah was an issue of karbanos. Karban, the word karban comes from the word karav. This, a karban is supposed to bring a chote, bring a sinner, not for atonement, but to bring a sinner close to Hashem, to redevelop a relationship with the Bnei Eruv. Avli Dezara is called Elohei Nechar. Strange gods. What are they called, strange? They look funny. Put them on a totem pole. Elohei Nechar is because they don't respond to those who call to them. They don't react. There's no relationship. Who is there any nation in the world that has a God that is close to him? We call out to Hashem. We pray. We answer. We have a relationship with the prayer. All the other nations, even if they believe in God, they wait for Sunday, they come to the church, done, and they go back to their life. Believe him in the back of your mind, and you're okay. There's no relationship. The whole point of a karban is to redevelop a close relationship with the Bria. And that was Shaul HaMashiach. The whole obliteration of Amalek is the people that represent our relationship, either our distant relationship or our closeness, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we doubted HaKadosh Baruch Hu's closeness in the Midbar, Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu, is he with us? Is he close to us? Is he amongst us? When we doubted his closeness, Amalek was the one to teach us if he's close to us. We're going to get thrown to Amalek. His hands go up. Klai Yisrael look up to God. They're saved in the war. Klai Yisrael forget about God for a second. They start losing. Amalek was the perfect tool to teach Klai Yisrael about the relationship with God. Comes along Shaul and he makes a very big mistake. He says, one second, we got karbanos here. Karbanos bring us close to Hashem. How can I wipe them all out? Such an opportunity to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Millions and millions and millions of sheep and cows and goats. So much opportunity to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Such Shmuel HaNavi. That's not what it's. If God says to wipe them out, that's what's going to bring you closer to Hashem. You're making a big mistake, specifically in the situation which is supposed to be teaching us about getting close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was Shaul's mistake. He's supposed to be dealing with the relationship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the whole sugya of Amalek. And he thinks that if I find some loophole in what God says, you know, maybe he missed the point, there's a little glitch in the system. One second, we can, you know, save a whole bunch of karbanos over here, we'll get closer to God that way. Comes along, Shmuel, this is what he's talking about. Best way to get close to God is Shmaya Eilof. Much better than karbanos. Perhaps that's also why Shmuel, when he took out his sword, he decided to kill Agag. He gave a little speech first. And then he sliced him into four. He didn't want to kill the reporters. Of course he was Chaim Bitzer, there was no question. His soldiers missed him, he's got to kill the king. Of course he's going to kill him. But he wanted to kill him with emotion, with a warm, boiling heart. So he gave a little tiny speech right before it, and he says, look what you've done to Kleisel, all those women whose husbands didn't come back from war, and their children who didn't come back from war. There are other things that we don't have to discuss, that they affected Kleisel's future relationships and their marriages as well. But you can look at Rashi and Pashas, he says to Yashar Karko, Vahizani, Bechoko, and Shoma, whoever. They affected Klal Yisrael's families. He got his blood boiling, and then he came. Why are you coming with the four? Four is the quintessential example for separation. When the food says Zeno, the Avakan is ours. The Kar Zeno, Ben Agonim, the Avakan is ours. Four corners of the lake. You divide something in four, that's a simin, a dollar of complete separation. Amalek represents Bichon, and we have to work on Kibbutz. Mashiach once mentioned to me that in America, Mashiach of Meir Yeshiva, he said b'shem the Shlaim of Olma, his father-in-law, the Mashiach, not really safe to Ali Shur. He said in America, 9 out of 10 homes don't know what Shalom Bayis means. There was a family in the community of Ber Yaakov, where Shlaim of Olma had his yeshiva, but they were known as like a mafia family. And they stuck up for each other. They had real family ties. And one of the brothers was once caught in something, and the other brothers stuck up. It was horrible. They all stuck up for him, and they did everything. And Shlomo Volman, his yeshiva, he once said, there's something to learn about family ties from them. There used to be a gzeira. There was a takan in the Gemara, a specific law that we put the time. We time stamp a get when a man gives a get to his woman, because we're kaishish, that he might stick up if he's married to his niece. He might stick up for his niece if his niece was mezana, another man, while she was married, and he feels bad for his niece because mezana's going to kill her. So he writes a get with the previous date, seeming as if she was already divorced from the Chancellor's, but she's not that easy. It's called Shema Yechate Almas Achoisim. We're scared somebody's going to stick up for his niece. Mashiach said, does anybody know who their niece is nowadays? Our family ties are so weakened. Knei Adar, Knei Akela, the father and son. Our relationships nowadays are so, so broken up. There's no one. Our Avodah is Hashem. We're missing that word. Amalek has a lot to teach us about that. We can't get rid of Amalek and obliterate his memory because he's still got to teach us. We have to learn a little about war, about getting hot-blooded over a mitzvah, developing a little heart. The Gevaldi Gemaisa with the Bar Dijifer, he was still very, very young. And he was not yet the well-known, famous Bar Dijifer. I don't remember who it was, but he was dying to be by a certain Gadol's Pesach Seder. And this Gadol did not have the Mahalak of the Bar Dijifer. He wasn't as fired up, and as embroiled and enheartened by everything. The Gadol, the Torah, and everything, but his Mahalak was a little more cold. And year after year, the Bar Dijifer begged his Rebbe, please, I need to come and see how you fear a Pesach Seder. I need to come, I need to watch it. Till finally, he gave it. And he said, Tarayachem, I don't want one iota of an outburst of your heart. Keep it inside till the Seder is finished. I don't want to see any outburst of your havon. Leave it all inside you until we're done with this. Fine, you knew it was going to be a tough job. But okay, stay there. How do you not at heart? And stay there. So the baditch of the way, and he attended this rub's dish, Pesach dish. And Baruch Hashem, Kamesh, Orchat, everything went smooth. Magid went smoothly. Marar, with the crying, everything. Not a peep, nothing. Until Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch, the Rebbetzin comes out with soup. And she comes over to the Rebbetzin, and she said, I'm sure you have to leave the soup with pepper. Do you love the soup with pepper? Exploded. What? Leave pepper? No, I've been leave the body alone. And the bowl of soup went flying. And it spilled all over Israel. It's very good, I think. And supposedly, the way the story goes, the Rebbe never cleaned that fish package. Where's that heart? Where do we develop that heart? In Avodas Hashem. We're not coming to the Baal Shem. Something. So, I'll tell you, perhaps and hopefully, just 2 points. Maybe everyone can decide on their own what they can do. One of the first mitzvahs of the Torah is a Havas Hashem, and a Havas Hashem is a mitzvah which is totally believed. We all have a problem. How do you get that heart moving? Famous Pasha, how could the Torah ask her, by Sachmai, last of the Seres Dibbers, not to be jealous? What do you mean we're jealous? How do you not be jealous? How do you love Hashem? So the Rambam says, and this is very similar to what Rav Moshe Feinstein paskins in the Hilchos Puru Rabu, the mitzvah is not to have children. Because that's not in anybody's hands to be able to raise children. The mitzvah is to do what you could have. That's the mitzvah. Not to have children. That's a God. Zot the Rambam! What do you mean, love Hashem? How do you love Hashem? There's no mitzvah of Hashem. The Yerukim Levavit Zot, all the mitzvahs that we find that are dependent on heart, the Gemara goes and describes, or the Medrash will describe, Ketzad, how. The Torah is very concrete and very black and white and very clear. Sometimes you get all emotional and, hey, love God, you know, respect your parents. The Gemara says, well, how do you respect your parents? Feed them, clothe them, escort them in and out. Don't contradict his words. There are specific acts that Chazal defined as being acts of respect. You go, oh, sure, I respect my father and my heart. Ahavas Hashem. Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvahs and the Rambam as well in Hilchos Yisrael de HaTorah Perek Beis Halacha Aleph says, how does a person have Ahavas Hashem? He is boining about the wisdom of God. Whether that is the wisdom of God in the Torah or the wisdom of God in His creations. He puts them both together. And he says that is a psik ratio. It's an automatic direct response. If someone applies his thought and he thinks into the tremendous, awesome wisdom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Torah, or the tremendous wisdom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his creations, automatically, miyad, he says, right away, you start feeling a pleasure, and that is ahava. And to the extent that you apply, and Moshe is a doctor, you think into science, and that's what the Rambam does. And Hilchos Yisrael de HaTorah, he gives you the element table. And he goes through the elements, which define in Chazal, of course, we have our element table, but Chazal broke it up differently. He goes into the table of elements, and he goes into microbiology. And he says, since I'm telling you about the mitzvah of Ahavas Hashem, here we go. know, we could all say, wow, the sun is great, you know. God's great, he made the sun. And you think about what the sun is made out of and how if the earth was tilted slightly differently, just a little bit of a degree off, we don't burn up, but we don't freeze. Just the angle, forget about the closeness to the sun, the angle. You think about a plant growing, cool, yeah, sure, you know, you put a seed in the ground, that plant grows. And then you have a person who looks into the wisdom that Hashem put into creation and all the things that go into photosynthesis, how it turns light energy and carbon into carbohydrates. Then you stop feeling that. And the same thing applies with Gemara and Chumash and any part of Torah you pick. You could look at any part of Torah and look at it like, well, you put a seed in the ground and it grows. Pashat Zach. That's Pashat Zach. You're not going to develop a Havas Hashem. Putting a seed in the ground, you see that flag grows, you're not going to see any others. When you look behind the Pasha Pshat, how did the plant grow? You look behind the Pasha Pshat in the Torah, and you see the tremendous, tremendous depth and intricate wisdom that went into every word in Rashi. Forget the Gemara. Rashi. Arishai. And of course the Gemara, and of course the Chumash itself. The tremendous depth of wisdom in there. Automatically, the Rambam says, brings you to Ava. You don't have to work on playing heartstrings. It's not Ava. Just think. Think about the tremendous wisdom of God, you get to Ava. That was one point. And the second is test. When Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, he built two huge pillars in front of the entrance of the Beis HaMikdash. One was called Yachin, and one was called Boaz. One referred to Torah, and one referred to Chesed. And I'm assuming the Beis HaMikdash itself was Avodah. You had Torah, you had Avodah, you had Gemilas Chasanim. But this was before you got to Avodah. Avodah Shebelev, right? Tefillah is representative of the Beis HaMikdash. That's Avodah Shebelev. Before you could work with your heart, you first have to develop a heart. And for that, you have the two things. Torah, really thinking into Torah, that develops a warm love for Hashem. Or chesed. Or should I say, and chesed. Torah doesn't demand of us to do chesed. It demands of us a havas chesed. Ki asos mishpat, do mishpat. When it comes to din, you know, I borrow money from you, I pay you back. Din. Do din. But when it comes to chesed, it doesn't say do chesed. It says ahavas chesed. You gotta love it. And the Chofetz Chaim says loving chesed means searching for opportunities. I remember once a guy, I'm not going to say his name because I'm sure he would not want his name to be mentioned, in the middle of one of these massively cold, stormy nights, he had one of these 4x4, you know, four-wheel drive, Geschmacker machine cars. He drove out there, and he drove to the most popular bus stops. Kings Highway, Coney Island, MJ, see if there's any that need to be picked up. That's the only guy. That's a guy who loves Kessler. Looking for opportunities for Kessler. He was comfortable with that. He had nothing to do. He was looking for chesed. Havas chesed. And the pasuk in the Torah says when you give tzedakah, or when you do any act of kindness, lo se'ameis levavka. Rabbeinu Yonah says that when the Torah says do not close your heart, Rabbeinu Yonah says that means you're giving. But you're giving with a closed heart. You give the exact same amount. You're helping somebody out. You're doing pikach cholim, achnos azarchim, whatever you're doing. You could do it with a closed heart, and you can do it with an open heart. And the only way to open up that heart if it's closed is what the Rambam says, Hergel, Maser, Teva. Don't give out the big bucks once in a while. Give out small acts of chesed very often. And when we do small acts of chesed very often, it opens up our heart. When we do big acts of chesed once in a while, we feel very cautious. It doesn't like it. So 2 points. I have a stayer and I have a discussion. Malik was going to the Caliph. Caliph is the exact same letters as kid late. It's possible for a person to have a heart as cold as stone. Closed up. It's possible for a person to have a heart that's full of warmth. And that was Amalek. And that's what Amalek's reminding us. And until we have that Ahamulu Akhikabaita, that Ahamas Hashem, that Ahamas Hashem, I don't know if we can be learned to say that more.
Okay. The Olam should be aware that Wednesday night, for those who give the shiur here, 9:10 p.m. at Gemara, every Wednesday.